It's a great privilege to be part of this service, and a wonderful idea of Bill and others last year to say, why don't we do something special in 2014 to tie in with the United Nations Day of Disability, which I think December the 5th or 3rd? Yep, 3rd. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for one another, and we pray that you would open your word to us today for your glorious sake. Amen. I've given myself the title, Jesus, the Friend to Everyone. We've all come here today with different levels of experience in regard to people with disability. We may be a person with disability, experiencing firsthand what that's like. We may be a carer. We may have considerable professional work experience with people with disability in the medical and caring professions. We may know close family members or friends with disability. We all come with some understanding, whether very personal to us or observed and empathized with. As Christian people, we follow the example of our Lord Jesus in all our relationships. And today we especially think of our relationships and friendships with those people we know or meet who have a disability. Luke chapter 14, the verses we've just had read, make very clear to us our Lord's feelings and attitudes. In fact, it's such a clear example to us of the inclusive, welcoming, and loving approach we would expect from Jesus that one of the CBM ministries is actually called Luke 14, and you'll have seen that on the screen a moment ago. Firstly, we see Jesus' direct, bold and unashamed attitude of mercy and compassion with those with a disability. In verses 1 and 2 of Luke 14, we note that among those in the house of a prominent Pharisee, one of the senior religious leaders of the day, there was a man with a heavily swollen arms and legs, a severe case of dropsy. It's very telling that people, verse 1, were watching Jesus closely. You see, it was the Sabbath, and they thought, you can't possibly heal a person on the Sabbath day, God's holy day. That would be to break God's law. Dreadful. Appalling. Jesus challenges their total misunderstanding of God's values and priorities. He reminds them how compassion and mercy come before following the letter of the law. Jesus asks them, does our law allow healing on the Sabbath or not? As Jesus looked them in the eye, he embarrassed them. Verse 4, they would not say anything. On another occasion recorded in Mark's Gospel, a very similar response occurred. It was another Sabbath. It was in a synagogue this time. And there was another sick man present. And Jesus asked the religious leaders, who clearly disapproved of Jesus' approach of compassion, he asked them, which is lawful to do on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill? Once again, we're told they were silent. Well, they couldn't defend the indefensible, could they? Much as they probably wanted to. In fact, after that healing, they started to plot to kill Jesus because of his love and compassion. Hard to believe. And in our incident in Luke 14, Jesus knew and they knew that if one of their sons or an ox fell down a well on the Sabbath day, they'd rescue that quick enough. So why not heal a sick man on the Sabbath day? It doesn't make any sense. That's why nothing was going to stop Jesus from healing that man, and he did it in verse 4. For some people with disability, lack of compassion has been something that they've had to face at various times. Elena mentioned that in her interview, that schooling and so on and university didn't really grasp. I can't understand that. It's TV, it's video, whatever it is. There was a lack of understanding of compassion. Many times, people with disability are marginalized, even excluded. I'm reminded of a friend of mine from uni who was part of a care team, took a group of teenagers with disability to a large European city. This was in the early 1980s. Some of them were wheelchair users. That city would not allow wheelchairs on its pavements. It was against the law. I think in the very scenic part where a lot of people were using it, so boulevards and all that kind of thing. Well, this group from the UK, of which my friend was a part, they just simply couldn't believe it. It was laws before compassion. I'm glad to say that that law has now changed in that particular city. But it was enforced then, and that's only a few years ago. And I'm sure there are other parts of the world where merciless laws are still in place. Macau's history of caring for those with mental illness makes for extremely uncomfortable and shocking reading. I read a Sunday Times magazine about 10 years ago, and it said how patients there were at that time chained and imprisoned if they had serious mental health issues. It was appalling. Well, I think we know what our Lord Jesus would have said and done about that kind of attitude had it been during his earthly ministry. And do you notice how Jesus moves from demonstrating his bold compassion, mercy, and healing to something more than a demonstration? He encourages a heartwarming invitation to the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind in verse 13. It all starts with working out the seating plan. And anyone who's organized a wedding knows how true that is. It always starts with a seating plan. Who can come to the wedding? Who can't? Who's going to sit where? We can't put those people with those people and all that sort of thing. Remember that Jesus is about to enjoy a meal in the home of a Pharisee. And verse 7 tells us, Jesus noticed how some of the guests were choosing the best places. So he told this parable to all of them. Verse 8, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place. It could happen that someone more important than you has been invited, and your host, who invited both of you, would have to come and say to you, let this person have this place. Then you would be embarrassed and have to sit in the lowest place. Instead, when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place so that your host will come to you and say, come on up, my friend, to a better place. This will bring you honor in the presence of all the other guests. For everyone who makes themselves great will be humbled, and everyone who humbles themselves will be made great. That parable has a great deal to teach us, doesn't it? About how we see ourselves and how we see others. Are we instinctively drawn to see ourselves as superior in many contexts and situations? Or do we see ourselves as inferior? The message of the parable is spelt out clearly by Jesus in verse 11. If we lean towards pride, we'll be humbled. If we lean towards humility, we'll be made great. That may well be true in this life. It's certainly true in the life to come, which Jesus almost certainly has in mind here. No one enters heaven as a self-made person. They enter heaven knowing they humbly depend on a merciful, gracious, and forgiving God. But in the context of the whole passage, and indeed of today's service, the wider application of the way we see ourselves and the way we see others has a great relevance as we reflect together and hear from people with disability. Are we willing to learn from the Christian example and witness of people who outwardly seem weaker than we are? I can honestly say that one of the most humbling moments in my whole life was when I visited a very dear Christian friend of mine who was dying of motor neurone disease. Harry and I had been at school and uni together. We'd holidayed together, played golf together. Both of us became church ministers. And on that day, the last day that I saw Harry alive, I drove some distance to see him and to pray for him. He died 6 days later. What I will remember of that day was him praying for me, blessing me, praying for my family and my ministry. I'll never forget that. Harry could hardly talk. He could hardly breathe. Every prayer had a gasp like that. It was sacrificial prayer for me. I'd gone to bless him. I was able-bodied. I could do it all. But it was very clear to me, this man who seemed so weak was the stronger and the greater. It was humbling. It was beautiful. I'm sure many of us have had a similar experience that we treasure. We have seen the truth of the Lord Jesus' words to Paul in a vision or dream. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And the end of our passage in Luke 14, Jesus makes it clear he wants such an invitation and welcome for others. Then Jesus said to his host, when you give a lunch or dinner, do not invite your friends or brothers or relatives or your rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and in this way you will be paid for what you did. When you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they are not able to pay you back. God will repay you on the day the good people, the righteous people, rise from death. Jesus loved to stir things up, didn't he? To challenge people, to open their eyes to the needs around them, to care for people, include people, show compassion to people. 2,000 years later, we can't avoid that challenge as we open Luke 14 together, as we meet people, hear their stories. It's all here in black and white. How could we be more compassionate and inclusive? And inclusive, as individuals, as couples, as families, and as a church. I think it's fair to say that St. Alfred's has a long tradition of giving people with disability a warm welcome. I hope those who have a disability feel that and sense that. You're very welcome at St. Alfred's. And I hope today's service has helped to demonstrate something of our care and feeling and compassion. But if you have any ideas and suggestions of how we could be more welcoming and more compassionate as a church, please let me or a member of the staff team know. Reflect on it. Pray about it. Because the hallmarks of Jesus in Luke 14 were compassion and welcome. Let's be more like him. Amen.